The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
Amen. Did you bring your Bible today? This is our instruction manual, and we're going to find out, we're going to learn some new instructions today. So I'm in 1 Kings chapter 19 this morning. 1 Kings 19. Simple verses that I think you know, but sometimes it's good to rehearse things we even know. Now, you know, I'm a real believer. This kind of go all together with what I've already said and been saying. I'm a believer that nobody is created by accident, man. There is destiny and purpose in every human being that's created by God. Every baby that's born. Amen. Every time I've been at a hospital, whether it's my own children or somebody else's children. Every time I go to a hospital and go to visit somebody that's had a baby or something. Go to their home and see a child. There's something that maybe because I know the Bible. But there's destiny in every child. And as such, there's a calling in every child. I mean that because God made you, God has already called you. We talk about people like me that do what I do, like the pastor, or the prophet, or the evangelist, or the teacher. When did you get called into the ministry? I got called into the ministry the same way you got called into the ministry. The day I got born, I got called into the ministry. The day I was born. The day you were born, God marked your heart. Now I know we do baby dedications here. We don't baptize children. We think that's error. Really, I think it's a false sense of security. They started baptizing infants because they died, so they'd go to heaven. Well, that water is not going to make you go to heaven. It's only the blood that makes you go to heaven. And so they started baptizing children. Water baptism was never intended to help a baby go to heaven. An innocent child's going to go to heaven because of their innocent state. But when we dedicate them to Christ. We believe in doing that. But really, we're not dedicating the children, we're dedicating the parents to raise the child right. You have a responsibility as a parent, those of you with all those children. You have a great responsibility to raise those children and live your life right before them. You're the greatest influence your children has. I don't care. It never really bothered me much what the public school was doing to my children because I knew I was having more influence than they were having. I have more influence over my children than the government has. I believe that, man. That my influence and how I behave had such power over my children, it's the thing that's going to get them. And I don't care if your children are away from God now. It's not over yet. They're coming back. You marked them as you lived before Christ. But even though we dedicate babies, you know what? I believe, man, every child that's born by God has a calling on their life. There's something that and that's what's a matter. You know, we usually wait. You know, I was 20 when I got saved. How old were you, Bob? 37. Beth, how old were you? Ron? 12. Ron, now see, how many know it's smart? How old were you, Beth? 20. 37. How old were you, Sarah? About 19 when she really started serving the Lord. And Ron, how old were you? 12. Now, how many know that So what Ron did when he was 12 is the same thing we did, these folks did when they were 37, 20 some odd, wherever they were. How many know it's smarter to do it when you're 12? It's better to do it when you're 12 than 37. Isn't that right? But how many got, you know, how many were just really dedicated to the Lord when you were really young and you were younger than Ron at 12? Look at you. And you served the Lord. That's the way you ought to do it, like our children. I have people tell me all the time, man, I wish I had a testimony like yours. I'm like, no, you don't. I don't like I have a testimony of what Christ did for my life. But do you know the hell that I went through to have that testimony? Do you know how many times, seriously, man, that I almost died, that I was in bad situations, that I was with bad people, we did bad stuff. The heartache that I suffered, the pain that I went through and all that. Yeah, it'll preach good now. And I got a testimony and I'm glad I can use that to the glory of God. And that's why I take every opportunity to do it. But I'll tell you what, you don't wish you had one like mine. And mine's, compared to what people go through today, mine's like just kindergarten stuff that I was messing with. No, you don't want my testimony. That what we want is the testimony of these folks that said from the time they were just infants and newborns, their parents raised them right. They got dedicated to God when they were just infants or babies, and they were given to God, and the parents were given to direct them toward their destiny, toward their calling, toward what God wanted to do with them in the earth for the glory of God. That's the testimony we want. I don't want my testimony. I want the testimony of my girls and the testimony of my grandchildren. That's the one I want. Hallelujah. But I can't go back and undo that, so I'm going to use mine to the glory of God. But my point is, look, man, the reason there's a calling on everybody's life. You're not, you know, depression drugs, anti-depression drugs, or it's rampant. What's happening with people today trying to live? You're not depressed. That's not what's the matter with you. What's the matter with you is you're misaligned. You're not, God made you for Himself. God made you for a specific purpose. God made you to serve Him in some way. That's why we, you know, I'm believing God that, and I like the ministry fair. That was Beth that came with that. You know, she knows the struggle we go through trying to get volunteers, man. And sometimes we don't have volunteers because people look around and say, look at all these people, and well, there's nothing to do. Well, we want to correct that deception. That's not true. I want to believe that someday we are going to get to the place where we don't need to have ministry fairs, because the Holy Spirit helps us communicate to the believers well enough that there is a calling. And when you get saved, we ought to really, and we do what we can and to make this happen, there ought to be an understanding of there's a calling in your life now. Now let's get busy and do something for God. Everybody's got a calling. God has already called. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the TV preacher. It's not just the singer. It's not just the everybody that seems to be out front. There's a calling to every part. And there's a calling on your life today. And Paul said it this way. He said, when Jesus appeared to Paul, Saul of Tarsus, in Acts 9. He said to him, Saul, it is really hard for you to kick against, what he said in the King James, to kick against the goads. A goad is a sharp instrument that people that owned animals would use to herd those animals. And they wouldn't hurt them, but they would poke them and sting them enough to drive them a certain direction. Get in this pen here, you know, right? And Jesus came to him and appeared to him and said, Saul, it's hot. You know what's the matter with your life, brother? You're kicking against the goads. You're pushing back, and I'm trying to use a goad and just poke you to go this way. Go this way. Don't do that. Do this. That's what God's doing with people's hearts. That's why things are difficult for people. They have a hard time. That's why there is all the drugs. That's why there is all the stuff. Because people are bummed out. They're depressed and confused. And they don't understand what's going on. It's because you're trying to go this way. And God wants you to be over here. And he's poking you. He's calling you to himself. To serve him. To become a Christian. And bow your knee to the name of Jesus. There's a calling. Shout out loud, I'm called. I think I have a good friend, his name's Dave Robinson, and Dave from Chicago, his full-time ministry is in what he travels the world teaching in churches, ordaining the people that are sitting in the pews, or the chairs, because what he believes in, and I believe in it, man, he believes in the marketplace ministry. That every person is called by God. Doesn't matter where you work. If the church, you know, you don't have to have the church give you, pay your paycheck to be called by God. Wherever you work, man, you're ordained. You're ordained in the ministry. You're called by God in the ministry to use your gift to be able to do what you do. Every person, I'm talking about every baby today, every toddler in there is called by God. Every baby in that nursery is called by God. Every one of those kids in ID kids classes, 6 through 12, every one of them has a calling in their life. They're called, and they have something that God wants them to do. There's a church that God wants them to be a part of. There's a body that they're fit together in, that they're going to serve in for the glory of God. Huh? And I, just in thinking through all that, I started thinking about this verse here in 1 Kings 19. I want to show you how quickly things can change for people once you get called by God. Yeah. 1 Kings 19:19. This is about Elijah and Elisha. Now Elijah was he's like the granddaddy prophet. He's a bad man. He's the guy that challenged the prophets of Baal. That this chapter here before that, right? We've been up there, up on Mount Carmel, when we went to Israel a couple times. That was one of my favorite places. We went in all of Israel. Up there, there's a big monument, big monument of Elijah standing there. Elijah wasn't afraid of those prophets of Baal. He challenged all of them, and then he killed them all. He's a bad brother. And so that happened. Verse 19, there's another guy named Elisha who would follow Elijah. Now, I want to show you Elisha's calling. So Elisha, you know what he did? He was a farmer. Farmer. He wasn't in seminary. He wasn't in online Bible school. Elisha was a farmer. I mean, a simple farmer. You know, there weren't a whole lot of corporations and stuff in those days, so most you were either like a fisherman or a farmer. Or maybe family was a carpenter. So the trades, there were simple things that people did. So Elisha is a farmer. He's out in the field this day. You know, one day. That's what I want to point out to you. You know, one day you can be going along with your little life and you got plans, you got hopes, you've got dreams, you've got ideas about how things are going to go. You've got a 5-year plan and a 10-year plan. And you're a farmer, and you know you've looked at other farms, but man, you're going to have a real farm. We're going to build this, we're going to have that. We're going to buy this land, and we're going to create a great harvest, and we're going to take care of our children. Then they're going to grow up and they're going to live on the farm with me and mama, and they're going to be good farm children. And you know, you can have great plans and ideas, and one day, somebody walk through the edge of your field and change everything. I feel like I might be walking through the edges of somebody's field this morning. I think people in here, you've got dreams and goals and plans. Hallelujah. But Jesus is a master at messing men's plans up. Sarah, bless her heart, was, you know, her plan, if you'd have seen her plans when she was in high school, it wasn't to be married to the pastor and be a pastor's wife for all these years. Sarah, if she had her way, you know, Sarah's quiet, private, all this kind of stuff. You know, in the ministry, it's people, people, and more people. There's sheep everywhere. Sheep in the morning, sheep in the afternoon, sheep at night. In between kissing and hugging, we're talking about sheep. Huh? That wasn't her plan. But you know, the same thing that happened to Elisha happened to Sarah. Everybody here, you got dreams and plans and thoughts and ideas. But God is going to have somebody walk through the corner of your field one day, and everything's going to change. Could be you today. Who knows? Here's what happened. Verse 19. So he, that's Elijah, he departed from there and he found Elisha. That means when he found him, that means he came upon him, or he saw him. He found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. Watch what he was doing. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. So Elisha is farming. He's plowing, isn't he? He's just doing his job. He's getting up. He's going to work every day. That morning, you know, I don't think they had showers back then, but he poured a bucket of water over his head early in the morning, had to go out to the field and got those oxen together. He put the yoke of oxen on them. Just another day at the office. He goes out with 12 yoke of oxen and he's plowing in the field. He's got his, and I'm sure as he's plowing, he's thinking about how to make this farm the best farm we can make it. This is what I am. I'm going to be a great farmer. And he's plowing and thinking about that. You know, you got a lot of time to think when you're following 12 yoke of oxen. Back and forth, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And all of a sudden, Elijah passed by him. Elijah was walking. And passed by Elisha. Now watch what happened. And he cast his mantle upon him. The mantle was like a wrap that they wore then. But inside that wrap, in God, the word always uses somebody's mantle for their anointing, their calling. The power of God was invested in that mantle. The guy wore the wrap, but it was like that wrap represented what was inside the guy, the calling that was in the man. Elijah was a prophet. And so inside that mantle, there was the prophet's anointing, the prophet's calling. And so Elijah walks by Elisha. The oxen are in front of Elisha. And all of a sudden, Elijah takes his mantle off himself. I'm sure Elijah was as shocked as Elisha was, because he felt this unction, this Holy Ghost, to take off that mantle, because I'm getting ready to call somebody. I'm getting ready to challenge somebody to come be what I created them to be. I'm getting ready to reproduce you, Elijah, because you're not going to be around forever. I'm getting ready to take your mantle and put it on somebody else. And Elijah takes off that mantle that represents what God has invested in him and his anointing and his calling. And Elisha, you know, when God calls you, it's not like always, how'd you get called? In a church service, I had my hand raised. They were singing "Just As I Am." No, Elijah's there among 12 oxen of smelly oxes. He's hot. It's in the middle of a field. It's in the middle of the day. He's hot. He's tired. He wasn't thinking about God. He wasn't thinking about church. He wasn't thinking about surrendering to God Almighty. He's thinking about building that farm. He's thinking about his own life and his hopes and his dreams. And suddenly, a man of God steps in his field, takes off his mantle, and looks what it says. And took off his mantle, passed by him, and into verse 19, and he cast his mantle upon him. The mantle, the wrap of Elijah, he takes it and throws the mantle. Let me have your jacket, Keith. Man, I'm going to use this for a mantle. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Elijah's got this wrap on him. And in that wrap, there's a calling but to God. There's the power of God. There's the miracles of God. There's the glory of God. It's inside this mantle too. And he walks by. Come over here, Sergio. He's plowing this with the oxen. And Elijah comes along and he casts. Now, I'm Elijah. I'm as shocked as he is. This is my mantle. This is my calling. I'm not looking to throw this thing around. You know why? Hang with me. Because, you know, for one thing, I gave my life to get this mantle. I paid a great price, Elijah would tell us. I've given my whole life. People have hated me. You know, the Bible says they killed prophets, man. Yeah. Prophets were enemies, man. You know why? Because prophets would tell you the truth. They didn't do the pastoral thing. It takes me an hour and a half to what Elijah did in 30 seconds. I'm going to give you the pastoral side of things. I love you, man. Man, you're wonderful. I love you. You're so sweet. I'm your pastor. We need you. We've always loved you. Thank you for all your work. Oh, my goodness, I love you. Let me pray for you now before I even give you anything. You know me, I'm going to go. It takes the shepherd an hour and a half to do anything, because we're just mercy people, and we love that. You know, if you're a good pastor, you love the sheep, man. You want them to be okay. Elijah would say, "Pastor, just step back and let me do it." And Elijah would just tell you how the cow ate the cabbage, man. He'd just tell you the truth. And he didn't care what you thought. He didn't even care. Remember when Naaman the prophet came? You know what I mean? They just don't care. And so Elijah, he's like, man, I've given my life for this mantle. It's wrapped around him. And the Lord said, I'm calling somebody today. This is going to be the guy that is going to, this is what this guy's calling is. He's going to take your place when you're gone. Now, this didn't all come out here, but there was a sense of all this in here. Well, first of all, I don't know if I like it that anybody's going to take my place. But you know, Elijah didn't die because he was old. Elijah died because he was finished. And he didn't even die. They came and got him in a chariot. And so Elijah's like, man, okay. But you know what? Don't you think it crossed Elijah's mind? Well, if I'm going to throw my mantle on somebody, I mean, I want the guy to look like he's in Bible school or something at least. Not like a dirty farmer. I don't want some hot, sweaty farmer. He smells like those oxen. He doesn't look like he could find Genesis chapter 1. And he doesn't look like he's thinking about it. I mean, Lord, are you sure that I'm in the right field here? Maybe I ought to be over here somewhere else. No, you're in the right field, brother. You're in the right field. You know, who gets called by God doesn't matter on, it doesn't matter what you think about their capacity and what they look like. It means, man, when God calls us to something, God calls us to something. And it's God's business. It's up to Him. We all belong to God. And He can use, bless God, just any of us. No matter how weak we look. No matter what we don't know. And the Holy Ghost, Elijah says, all right, Lord, I'll obey you. And it says, as Elijah, now get back to plowing. He's plowing that field, Elisha is. And it says, simple. He cast his mantle upon him. Now, in this mantle, there is the prophet's calling. So, I don't know what you were like before this happened right here, brother. But I got a feeling that everything about you has just changed. Because God is now entrusting you with my anointing and my calling. You know, I don't care if you're a door greeter, a church cleaner, a musician. God is entrusting you with a calling. He throws that mantle on him, and all that calling, all that dedication and depth of commitment and sacrifice, instantly, while he is still standing in a field, everything changed that day for Elisha. How do you know that? Look what happened. Look, just stay there with that mantle. And all of a sudden, it says, verse 20, he left the oxen. Say, he left the oxen. Man, those oxen, a minute ago, those oxen were the most important thing in his life, because if the oxen didn't pull that yoke, pull that plow, he was pulling it. Those oxen were his livelihood, man. That's what plowed that field. Now, all of a sudden, once the mantle, oh, man, I'm preaching to somebody today. Once that mantle got upon Elisha, all of a sudden, he doesn't want to be with those oxen anymore. All of a sudden, those oxen that he loved and cared for and plowed his field, all of a sudden, the Bible says, he left the oxen. That means he left his past. That's an Old Testament version of Jesus meeting Peter, coming to the sea. And looking at Peter, he just meets the guy and says, I want you to leave everything and follow me. And shockingly, Peter did it. Elijah Elisha is like Peter and James and John in the New Testament. All of a sudden, all this guy did, he didn't say anything to him. He just threw a mantle around him. And all of a sudden, there's something happens to the guy. And he leaves, here's what I want to say. He leaves his old life. A calling to God is a leaving of what you used to be. Everything that used to be important to you is no longer important. Everything you worked for, everything you dreamed of was on that farm. Now all of a sudden, a mantle from a man of God hits you, and all of a sudden, you leave the oxen. And he look what he did. This is what he did. He ran after Elijah. He ran after him. We got three things that have happened so far. He got Elijah's mantle. He left the oxen. And now he's running after the prophet of God. Huh? It doesn't say the prophet of God wanted him to run after him. He just said he did. It doesn't say the prophet of God had to preach at him like I feel like I do a lot of times with human beings. And said, now look now. This is everything about your life has changed now. Now you got to follow me now. I know you probably don't want to, but you got to follow me and run after me. That's the right thing to do. And most people look at me like, I don't want to. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said to Elijah, he said, well, let me pray thee, let me go and kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow you. That, you know, there was a sense in Elisha. All he did was throw his mantle on him. Somehow this guy got the idea. Man, my whole world just got changed. He said, I'm probably not going to see my mother and father very much or anymore, maybe never again. Let me at least go kiss my father and my mother. Huh? And then I will follow you. And he said, and Elijah said unto him, well, go back and do that. You know, my translation, I don't care. For what have I done to you? All I did was throw my mantle on you. What you do now is all up to you, brother. I did my part. I felt led to walk through this field, and I threw my mantle on you. Now, I don't care. You want to go back? You're going to go back and kiss your mother and father. Bless your heart. Because you, I know, you know, maybe you're a real mama and daddy's boy. I don't know, man. And I know you love this farm. I can tell you love this farm. I don't care if you do what God wants you to do or not. This is all up to you now. You know, it's funny, but people in the church, we don't mean to. I mean, including, sometimes we put that responsibility for our calling on the leaders of the church. And we got to call you. We got to invite you to stuff. We got to push you and prod you and do this and do that to like motivate you along to want to follow God. Yeah. I like Elijah's. Elijah was like, I don't care what you do. Yeah. I'm following God. You, I don't know about. But I know this. I threw my mantle on you. Elijah basically said, I don't care. Verse 21. And he returned back from him. This is how I know Elisha got it. He did turn back from him. But watch what it says. It didn't say he ran to his mama and his daddy. That's what he said he was going to do. Look what it says. He went back. He took a yoke of oxen. Now, what's the yoke of oxen represent? They represent his past life before that mantle got on him and the way he used to live and what was important to him formerly. And I like Elisha. He says he took a yoke of oxen and he killed them. My God. Sarah said, what are you preaching on? This was a few weeks ago. I started digging around this. I said, tomorrow I'm going to preach on killing oxen and burning plows. And I really, in that title, I see that's what's wrong with us. We want to follow God, but we haven't killed the oxen. We don't have the courage and the depth of calling that's invested in the mantle. We haven't taken the thing that we used to serve with, the what used to be important to us, those oxen that pulled, that represented our past life. We still want the oxen to be around in case we might change our mind. Wait a minute, man. I don't want to go all in. I like Elisha. There was something in those words when he said that thing about his mother and father. Elisha got that point. Man, I gotta invest my life in this thing. And it says, he returned back, took a yoke of oxen and killed them. The oxen are like, what'd we do? He killed them and boiled their flesh. Watch it now. With the instruments of the oxen. So he killed the oxen. What that means is he took the wooden, the other stuff that went into the yoke that he plowed with. Huh? He boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and he gave to the people, and they ate. In other words, he didn't just kill the oxen and leave the plow. He killed the oxen. He took the thing that went around the oxen, the yoke and the plow and all the stuff, and he destroyed that stuff as much as like burned it. He ruined it so he couldn't go back to it. You know, I believe in getting saved like this. When Christ comes into your heart, I believe in killing all the oxen. I believe the calling of God is for you to kill your past life. See, we want our past life to be waiting there for us when we get tired or it gets hard following the kingdom of God. We want to run back to our past life. And we want to plow again. Elisha took care of that and said, let's make this real simple. I'm going to kill the oxen. And I'm going to destroy the yoke and the plow. I'm going to have nothing to farm with if I ever get tempted to go back to this. Listen, when people get saved, I'm telling you, I'm challenging you to kill the oxen. That doesn't mean I'm looking for everybody to be full-time in the ministry. I'm just talking about selling out, cashing it all in, changing everything about your life. Changing so you can't go back to your old life. You don't want to go back to. Why wouldn't you want to kill the oxen? We want out of the way that things used to be. You mean, well, if I really get saved and give my life to Jesus, I won't be able to sin really good anymore. No, you won't. But I want to tell you something. The day that mantle hits you, your life already changed anyway. It ain't going to be. I want to tell you right now, you should have slept in. Today would have been the day to sleep in. Hang with me. We might have to buy Keith a new jacket here, man. Get the money out of the pockets before we. We're going to burn it. No. Here's why you should have slept in. You know why? Because this is what I'm doing today. By the priest word, throwing a mantle on you. I'm throwing a mantle on you. Been easier to sleep in, Brother John. We're throwing a mantle on you. There's a calling on you. There's a calling in your life. Sorry, Sue. I don't think anybody's ever been slapped with an anointing cloth. That arm went around and hit Miss Sue. There's a calling on you. That's what's the matter with us, Gary. We don't have any. And you know what? What's weird? All we were doing, Ron, is just plowing in the field. And one day, the word of the Lord comes. I said, one day the word of the Lord comes and it gets on us and we can't ever be the same again. When this mantle got upon him, he left everything. He left his mother and his father. Some of you, one reason you won't get saved and really surrender to Christ is because of relationships. You're afraid of what everybody's going to think. What will it mean? Listen, there's going to be people that think you ran out into the country and you're doing acid with a 75-year-old woman. Do you know that? You know, that never bothered me that they thought that. You know why? I didn't think, I better go fix that. I didn't care. You know why? Because I had what was in this. Except mine wasn't the mantle of Elijah. Mine and yours are the mantle of Jesus himself. And on the 28th day of July in 1973, at 9 o'clock at night, Jesus walked through the corner of my field and he took all of his anointing and all of his glory toward God and his absolute utter abandonment to his calling and to God, and he threw it down and it landed on me. Little old me. Amen. I'm worse than Elisha. At least was at a job. I'm at a party smoking pot doing acid. And the man, and all of a sudden in the middle of that party, this mantle comes down from heaven, gets on me. I went out of that party like this. Somebody said, man, he's really stoned. Oh, it was more than stoned. When this mantle hits you, brother, are you kidding me? My knees buckled. My world started, suddenly it was like there was a spiritual earthquake happening inside my heart. All my hopes, all my dreams, all the things I used to want to do, they were all crumbling right in front of my eyes and in my heart. I've told you, I was with a friend of mine and at that party, and he was up against the wall and he'd just fallen against the wall backwards and slid down the wall, and I thought, I ought to at least tell somebody what I'm doing. So I got down on my knees up next to him. I said, I'm going to go outside and become a Christian. And I meant it too, man. With tears in my eyes, I said it. Because I knew my whole world was changing. And not only was I leaving my past life, I was going to find the one who threw that mantle upon me. You know what? That really, truly, there's something more important than the mantle. And I'll tell you what it is. It's the one that throws it on you. Look what it says. Into verse 21. Then he arose, that's Elisha, and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. I'll tell you what's important. It is important to have the calling. But what's important is the one that threw it after him. And once when Jesus threw that calling upon me and he said, I want to use you. You got to understand now, back 44 years ago this year, you got to understand, I didn't know. I didn't have a Bible. I didn't know God. I didn't understand the kingdom of God. I'd been a religious little kid, but I didn't know anything about God, His calling. I didn't know about helping people. I wasn't looking to help anybody before that moment right there. And suddenly, my world got rocked. And when He threw that mantle on me, and I went outside and I knelt down, I had believed that Jesus, I made Him Lord over my heart and over my life. And then when I got up, and this is what I've been doing. Somebody said, if they ever ask me at the reunion, what have you been doing? I'm going to say, I've been running after the mantle thrower for 44 years. I've been chasing Jesus Christ for 44 years. That's what I'm doing this morning. I got up today. I said, I'm going to chase you today, Jesus. I said, I don't care where you are. I'm going to find you. I don't care what I got to go through. I'm going to chase you. I don't care, because if all of that happened to me is inside that mantle, I want to be close to you. And you know, for years, wherever Elijah went, you always find Elisha right there with him. Elijah, wait. I'm going down here. I'm going to go down to Bethel. You stay here. I love Elijah. Elisha says, wherever you go, no, you're not. You're not going without me. And Elijah said, yes, I am. You just stay here. Just make a good life right here to be good. You did good, man. You followed me from all the way over here to here. I'm real proud of you. Most people don't even care about my mantle, and they don't care about following me. You did really good. You just stay right here. That's all I need. You know, when Elijah turned to go away, Elisha reached out, grabbed hold of him, and said, this is exactly his words, wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. You are not going anywhere without me. And every time Elijah turned around, there he was. Like, what are you doing here, man? I'm chasing you. You know what? Because I want what you got. And I want your calling. And I want to be around you. They went from Bethel. They went to Jericho. They went, you know, four places. They got down to the river Jordan. That's where we lose a lot of people, at Jordan River. You know what happens at the Jordan? The Jordan is where Naaman had to dip in that dirty water 7 times. You know what happens at Jordan? That's where you go to die. Listen, you've done really good. You followed me here and here and here, Gilgal and Bethel and Jericho. But you know what? This one here, I know you. Look, man, I love you. Great job. But nobody goes that far with me. I'm going to Jordan, and I'm going to go. That's where you got to die if you get in that. So I'm sure you don't want any piece of that. And Elijah turns to go, and Elisha grabs hold of him and says, wherever you're going, I'm going with you. You know, I wish we'd get back to the place in church where we didn't have to play around and tiptoe and pitter-pat baby people. Pat, burp people so they don't get upset and aggravated and leave the church and go find something else. They believe in a calling. They believe in a destiny. And they're going to chase that guy and that mantle. How far did that go? Well, he went to Jordan with him. Never had to drag him. Never had to say, you know, if you go to Jordan with me, I promise, man, I've got a gift card and I'll give it to you. You're going to make it. You know, in churches today, we got to give away iPad minis to get people encouraged. Nothing wrong with that. Except at the core of it, if what you really do, if this guy won't follow simply because of he understands the depth of the calling, he's not going to stay following with a mini iPad. Elijah finally said, Let's see if you go all the way. After Jordan, for the first time, Elijah thought, you know what? This kid might make it. And he goes on. And somehow Elijah, I think he knew that the end was coming for him. The chariots were coming. They get to a certain place and all of a sudden they look up and here comes the chariot. Here comes the horseman coming from heaven. Coming from heaven. And Elijah knew they're coming for me. And Elisha knew they're coming for you. And Elijah had told him, you can have a double. Where's my mantle? Derek trying to steal the mantle now. I know, man. I don't want you to have this. And I mean this. I don't want you to have this. I want you to have twice as much as this. This anointing, this power has healed people. Raised the dead. It's created life. I don't want you to have this. May God grant you double this. I want you to have twice as much as I ever had in my life. But Elisha, you'll never get it unless you're there and see me when those chariots come. What he was trying to say without saying it was, come on, man, don't quit, please. Come all the way. I've looked all over. I don't know. There's something in me that I'm not sure that was the first time he ever cast that mantle. Maybe this is a extra, just supposing, potentially. Maybe he threw that mantle on some people. They said, I'm not leaving those oxen. This is my livelihood. What am I going to do for a living? But you've come this far. And if you've come this far, maybe you'll go a little farther. Stay with me. They turned around and the chariots come. How close together were they? You know how close they were? The Bible says that literally they were so close together that the chariot came and had to knock him out of the way, Elisha out of the way, or it would have taken both of them. Here, this is what I believe. This is not really a good Sunday morning message. This is, this one you're supposed to be the good seeker church guy and do the lighthearted messages. Here's what I believe. This is how I've been with every pastor I've ever had. Once I find who they are, who's got the mantle, this is what I do with them. I want to tell you, Pastor, I love you. You're saving my life. And I'm not ever going to leave you, ever. I'm going to stay with you, and I'm going to hold you. I'm not going to let sin ever separate me. Nothing in the world is more valuable than loving you and having you in my life to take your anointing and put in my life. Nothing. I will never let anything get between us. I won't let hurt feelings. I won't let offenses get between us. I won't ever, I'm telling you, I see what God called us together. I'm going to stay with you until I get everything that God wants me to have out of you. I'm going to, and you know what? He said, I'm going to minister to you. I'm here to serve you. You're not here. I don't need you to do anything for me. You just be you. But I'm staying around you. I'm going to minister to you. You know what Elisha was? When he was thirsty, he went and got him water. When he was hungry, he got him something to eat. You know why? Because that gives me an opportunity to stay around him. We're so soft and sissified in the church today, it hardly takes anything to do this. Because we haven't boiled our oxen, we find a pastor and they just are a church, and they just they're useful only as long, and then until I want to go, I want to go back to those oxen over there. I'm staying with you for the rest of my life. And it says he ministered to him. So, the price you pay for ministering to the man of God is that you get to be there when the chariot came and the true full mantle when the chariot came. What Elisha had on him for a little while was just a shadow of what was coming. And when he got caught up in that, when Elisha was leaving in that chariot, he reached out of that chariot and took his mantle, the full version measure of that mantle, except there was a double dose inside that mantle now. And he throws it out of that chariot, and it falls on not just everybody. You know who it falls on? The guy that's chasing him, that's been chasing him since the day he walked in that field. Mm-hmm. Let's talk honestly today. But most people won't pay that price. Most people today, they go back to their oxen. They stop paying prices. They stop being dedicated. They stop being sold out. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I get, man. Somebody said, Pastor, I can't do that. I'm tired. I said, I've been tired since I got saved. I don't remember a day since I got saved. Chasing this cat, chasing Jesus is not for the faint of heart, is it, man? Pastor Mark's chased men of God around the world, man. That's not easy. The stuff you got to go through. The things you don't understand. Elijah's not always the easiest guy to understand, by the way. Elijah's a tough cat. He don't say it real sweet pastorally. But the day, don't you know that the day that chariot came and that mantle came floating down from heaven, and there was a double portion of that man's anointing, don't you know? He didn't go, I don't know if this was worth it. He thought, hallelujah. And the Bible says he took that mantle and he went to the waters and he took that mantle, hit that water, and the waters parted right there. Sometimes this is what's the matter with young guys. Not always, just some. See, the young guys still need the old guy, what's in that mantle that the old guys got. Because the old guy had the mantle. The young guy used what the old guy gave him. I wish the young guys would know that. Elisha's gone. Congratulations, man. It's all on you now. I'm going to be with glory, in glory. Now take it. You do double the miracles that I ever did. And the Bible clearly states that he did exactly twice as many noted miracles in the scripture as Elijah ever did. The price that he paid for is he had to die. What are you asking me today, Pastor? I'm asking you to come and chase Jesus and kill your oxen and burn your plows. I'm asking you to sell out again. I'm asking you to value what's in the calling of God. I'm asking you to show up I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to cash in your life for what we have to offer. What it's not anything I got, but it's the power of God that's in Jesus Christ. And I'm daring you to come. I'm challenging you to come. I'm calling you to come. I'm calling every person that's old. I don't care how old you are. There's an anointing in you. Yes, you're tired. Yes, you're sore. Yes, you ache. I never used so many ice packs in my life as I have in the last years. But I hear the Holy Ghost every time saying, keep pushing, Pastor. Keep going. Keep going for the glory. Keep, you know what? Because I don't have everything I'm going for yet either. I'm still looking for more. A lot more. I'm looking for an all-out Holy Ghost, devil-hating revival. But I'll tell you what I'm first looking for. I'm looking for people that'll kill their oxen and burn their plows and come and follow Jesus Christ and give Him everything and quit pouting about it and not make it like it's a hard thing and come and die at the cross with Jesus so that we can have the power and the glory of Almighty God. Come on, Keith, I'll give you a jacket back. Come on. And I'm calling you today. And if you're here today, listen right now. Everybody pay attention to me, not them. Look at me. If you're here today and you're not a Christian yet, God is calling you today, this day. God is calling you to come be a Christian. Come and be a Christian. Come and give your heart to Jesus Christ and forget about this world and what it has to offer. Come to Jesus and serve Him and let's kill our oxen and burn our plows. Come to Jesus today. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, but God is dealing with your heart, and you hear my plea today and God's call from the Word of God, if that's you today and you're not a Christian, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want to come to Jesus today. Today, I want to kill my oxen and burn my plow. I want to follow Christ. Who is that? I love you.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crabb and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.